This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I want to let you know, in this beautiful spring day, it's about 75 degrees, that the first part of the show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive. And, of course, everybody knows Mark, who lives here. And their business is at 2006 North Main Street in Shebaville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, give them a call at 1-800-264-6800 or pull them up on the internet, PirtleHowerton.com. And then take about a 20-25 minute drive towards Shebaville on 231 South. Go in, talk to the nice people, and save yourself quite a few bucks while you're doing it. And I have two really special guests on today. And, of course, one of my favorite subjects in the whole world is Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. And Bill Shacklett, as everyone knows him, I'm sure that's been in Rutherford County for any time at all. And John Lodell, who is one of our leading educators here at MTSU and is currently teaching American history at night. But you have really had a special project taking care of the history in this immediate area. And I really appreciate you guys being on here today. And, of course, I think of Shacklett's. I think of one painter. I think of Rembrandt. Because I really do. Oh. Because you guys just pull the history out of almost nowhere and put it right in front of us, and you can't do it better. What's the old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words or something like that?
Oh, you're so kind, Truman.
But you paint the pictures, and then John helps with some of the historical data, and you went together, and you've got this book that's out now, and I've been through it, and it is absolutely fascinating. It should be fascinating not only for all of us old-timers, the people who've been here, but for the new people to come in and say, man, is this the way Murfreesboro used to be? It's just unbelievable.
Well, thank you, Truman. We have, the project kind of had in its genesis when we had looked at our collection. There were, goodness, thousands of images that, thanks to Mom and Dad, over the years had collected. And we wanted to try to find a way to share them with the community in a broader sense. I mean, we have them in different locations in the community, and we put them up at Uncle Dave and different mm-hmm. places where people can see them. But thanks to the county's commitment to the archives, we have a location now that these images can reside on. And thanks to John's passion for our local history and not just saving it, but having it access to that history to people who are doing research. Mm-hmm. We were, goodness, I don't know, 6 or 8 months trying to figure out exactly how this we could share the images that we had with the county archives in a collaboration between us and MTSU's historic preservation group. Mm-hmm. And giving them some practical experience in researching these images. We've begun the process, which it'll be years in happening, of accessing those images for people to be able to do research with and to see and actually a place for them to reside. Mm-hmm. And it's John basically looked at this and said, you know, we ought to do a book. And I'll let him tell the rest of the story.
Yeah, we thought a book would be a good idea to do a couple things. Try to share some of the rarest images of Murfreesboro and Rutherford mm-hmm. County with the general public. I mean, we got images in this book that nobody's ever seen before, I think, or haven't seen in a long, long time. It also, for the archives, it helps promote the archives and what we do and working, you know, we're county government, but a big part of what we do is helping preserve our community, our history. Mm-hmm. And then promote the Shacklett's collection, this wonderful gift of Shacklett's photography, Bill, Gloria, their parents. They've gifted these 30,000 plus, we don't know exactly how many, historical images to the county archives to turn around and be presented to the public. So the book's kind of a highlight of the collection, a promotion of the archives, and a gift to the community.
Well, I mean, you put the words with the pictures, and then you show the changes as they have evolved over the years, which kind of, it's almost like reading a history book, but it really makes it fun. And Bill, you and I probably, you don't have to have your memory jogged like I do.
Don't say that.
But we get together and we start talking to our old buddies that right. have been around here for years and say, well, do you remember where this particular drugstore used to be? Or do right. you remember where the Princess Theater and all that other stuff? And I think I have vivid memories of it sometimes. And then I start looking through your pictorial part of the history mm-hmm. of the downtown area. And sometimes I'm not quite on target.
Well, and this is what, we all have a selective memory, I mm-hmm. think, of the past. And what John, as a historian and a trained historian, educated to be that, and let me tell you, he is diligent in researching these images. And I think just as important, I do think the images are very interesting, and a lot of people are image oriented, but John meticulously wrote cut lines about the pictures, and mm-hmm. I think there's as much history and information for you to receive in the narrative of the book mm-hmm. as it is in the pictures. But the pictures are fun, and we hope they generate a lot of conversations between generations of grandparents and parents and children to talk about our community and stimulate a real interest in knowing our community, because it's hard to know where you're going until you kind of appreciate where you've been. And
you're
I think
exactly right.
These are great images that kind of reflect upon that and help us remember where we came from, and we certainly have come a long way as a community.
People, I remember years ago, and I can't remember who started it, maybe Main Street, but they wanted to preserve the history of the downtown area, but they wanted to make sure that it's still a good place to go and is not falling down and make sure that the structures were right. And I am sitting here looking at a picture that's in the 1920s that's just absolutely fascinating, and it's where the Cotton Day
right.
celebration was. Right in the middle of the square. I mean, you've got the horse-drawn carriages, and you've got the bales of hay, mm-hmm. or the bales of cotton, I should have said. Mm-hmm. And you've got the courthouse. They're sitting in between the courthouse, and it looks like Buck Cannon Tarpley's. I guess that's a drugstore. Or maybe it was just Buck Cannon's at that time.
Yeah, at that time that would have been.
And you think, how in the world have we been able to maintain that all of these years? Really, the downtown area has changed very little, except the buildings are a little bit more updated.
John, tell them a little bit about the Cotton Days. You did a little research on that, it just kind of primed the pump a little bit. They used to bring them in, and that was because cotton was king at that mm-hmm. point in time, and they would, they would weigh them to who brought the biggest bale or biggest wagon in, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they would bring the cotton to the square and have it weighed, and it was market day. They were going to weigh it, and the farmers get the cash in that day on the day that the cotton buyers and brokers buy the cotton. But that picture that you're looking at in the book, mm-hmm. unfortunately, our listening audience can't see it
until they
get the book. But it's a beautiful, it's a transition shot. It's mid-1920s. Mm-hmm. You have brand new Ford Model Ts in the picture lined up, yep. parked in front of the courthouse. But then you have these horse-drawn cotton wagons from the days of way old 1800s looking things going on here on the square, drawn by mules and some horses.
Say mules probably.
Yeah, mules as opposed to horses. And so it's a great shot that's showing the
transition
from new technology but meets the old, right there on the square.
Well, it just shows you that if you do something to harm the downtown area, you're just about cutting the heart out of Rutherford County.
I agree. You're preaching to the choir. It is, our downtown area, we are just very fortunate that it is still a aesthetically pleasing and economically viable place for people to realize their dreams. And, Main Street has done a wonderful job of kind of bringing our group, our community together to value that, because it's a place we just had our annual meeting for Main Street, and I kind of had something to say, mm-hmm. being the chairman of that board, I was telling him that, you know, really what Main Street does is set the table for us to experience what it is to be community again. And so when we get together, whether it be for Jazz Fest or for our First Friday concerts that we do, or something that's become, in 2 years, has become an institution. If you haven't been to the square on Saturday morning for the market, these are institutional times and places that Main Street is helping us provide that help us feel like a community. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, we get to see each other, and the events that we have, whether it be at during Halloween when there's close to 3,000 or 4,000 people that mm-hmm. trick-or-treat on the square now, or you know, at Christmas time when the children come there to see to greet Santa. It's just, you know, these are times that we feel, even though we're a thriving metropolitan area here, we can come to the square and feel like, you know, a little piece. This is home. This is something that we can invest our hearts in and our efforts mm-hmm. in. And Main Street has helped be that cheerleader for what's mm-hmm. happening in our downtown, that it be sustained. And certainly, I think hopefully this will help people appreciate that if you haven't been here, if you've only been here for a short period of time, you live in a very special place.
You do. You know, your place has been a resource for people who want to bring some of their own history back to their family, and also for the whole community. And I wonder if your dad, Richard Claude Dick
right.
Shacklett, do you think he had a vision of what he was starting when he was doing his collecting and taking the pictures? And
we have a picture that Dad actually, it kind of tells, you know, you love to have a window sometimes generations pass and mm-hmm. and you never ask the right questions, mm-hmm. you know, and you wish right. if I could just go back and ask that question. Mm-hmm. And we had, you know, when Dad started doing restoration of old photographs, which I still remember, we were on Church Street at that time, and it wasn't much, that wasn't happening too often. People mm-hmm. just didn't think about that, you know, whether it was 10 types or we just didn't do a lot of it. But Dad got into it, and he realized what he was doing, not only for families, but in doing this for the community as well, how important it was. Because in his own handwriting on this picture that we have of him holding his camera up to the sky, he has written how valuable it was when he first learned about photography, and it captured his passion mm-hmm. For something that he really knew that was his calling, to do mm-hmm. photography. He wrote it in his own handwriting, that, you know, how important it was for him to have these images. Now, and it's a treasure. Have you seen that, John?
I did. Yeah. I can't remember the exact wording, but I
wish
it's,
I could,
very moving.
I thought I could, you know, say it off the top of my head, but it is really a passionate explanation as to how important he realized his responsibility. And when we do a wedding or photograph a child or, you know, whatever we are restoring old images, it is... There's few things, you know, like a lot of people say, if you had a house burning, what would you get first? Mm-hmm. And most people would say, you know, all the other stuff can be replaced. I'm going to protect and save my pictures. Because those are memories, and those things, you know, are so much a part of who we are as individuals. And to reflect mm-hmm. upon that, it really helps our lives to be more rich. And I remember his mother was getting older. We would take old photos of our family out, and we would converse our conversations, even though she had Alzheimer's and was progressively mm-hmm. deteriorating in her memory. Mm-hmm. She might not remember what she had for lunch, but when we brought pictures out, talking about those pictures spurred that memory.
Yeah.
And so I think these, you know, to be able to do that and to have that as a part of your family's history not only links us with the past, but it really enriches our present.
You know, in some respects, I think, you know, in the years or where they got, people have all got cameras and they take pictures all the time. To me, that almost waters down the process of the memories, because as you know, everybody has drawers and drawers full of pictures.
Right.
And a lot of times you don't have a clue of who's in that picture,
right.
What's going on in the picture. And with your dad and continuing on through you and Gloria, and you've been able to maintain that history, which is, to me, is awesome. And having somebody like John over here, and what really, you know, I was thinking as I was looking at this book, you're a fairly young guy. What really got you interested in this?
You know, I moved to Murfreesboro, as a lot of folks did, to come to MTSU. I actually transferred here. I was 20 when I came down to MTSU, and I'll go ahead and date myself. I just turned 38. Thank you.
You don't look so, 38.
the younger generation.
Well,
but, you know, coming to Murfreesboro, y'all already hit on the fact that it is a very magical place, because in Rutherford County and Murfreesboro, and that's what we tried to highlight in the book, is especially in the writings in the introduction say that in Rutherford County, we were one of the fastest growing counties in the nation.
Still are,
I believe, in this economy, but definitely were before this economy. But we still have this really strong tie to history. I mean, the courthouse, the square, East Main Street, and it goes on and on from there. So, I mean, that's the glory of the book, and that's the glory of why I kind of got so excited about it, because there's so much history here. Sure, we've lost a lot, but there's still a lot of history still here, and that's kind of really exciting and not something you find in every community.
Are you able to relate that to the kids in your classroom? Do they really understand what's going on and how precious the historical part is?
I think you can make them understand, but it's just the media, the way it's presented.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to put the heart and soul into it, the energy behind it, you can show them a picture of an old house, sure, but what if you tell them the story behind that old house and start making history personable?
Mm-hmm.
Bring out the story in the history so they can relate to it and maybe make a link to their lives, the new generation.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can be taught to pay attention.
Well, and we really hope, John and I have talked about this, is that we hope the book will be that kind of tool for intergenerational discussion. You know, grandparents, look at it and share it with your grandchildren.
Right.
Parents, share what life was like for you growing up in the 60s and 50s for us to talk to our children about what our community was like and how it's changed. And one of the things that I think is really exciting about what this process has begun and what John is doing at the archives, so much of the reason that we have some of these images is that someone was maybe, you know, a person had passed away and they had come back to our community to settle the estate and found some images, and so they brought them by our studio because we kind of were that depository for a lot of people, images. Or someone wanted to have a restored image, so they came by to have a copy. And Dad would say, well, I'll make you a copy if you let us keep a copy. Now, you know, a small business like ours is one place that, you know, may or we hopefully we're there for a long time. By the way, this is our 75th year being in business.
I know. I saw that in the book.
So
actually, I thought it was longer than that, to be honest with you.
Well, Dad started when he was just a boy, still in high school. But businesses come and go, and so the idea is to have this protocol, this way and place for people, not just the images that we've been able to collect, but, you know, for the community to be aware. We're settling grandmother's estate. We found these pictures. We don't know who they are or what the significance they might be. Go take them to John. Go over to the archives. Let's see if these are historically significant and this is something that could benefit our community's history. And then we collectively hold on to that history of our community. I told a story the other day about we used to have our office next to Al Gore's office, you know, on East Main Street.
Right.
And a fellow that worked for him moved to Washington when he had his office in Washington and happened to be going through a yard sale and found some images that he recognized just in a box. Of images that were Stones River Battlefield in the area, pictures that were taken just after the Civil War. And he knew where they were because he had been here. And so he brought them back to our community. He gave them to us, gave the images to us, and we copied them and restored them. And we found them. Rita over at the library was looking through the Tennessee room at the library, and these images were used to make engravings in a book, Stones River, so it was Battles of the Civil War, I think it was. But they were made, these pictures were made into engravings or etchings in this book. And they were the same angles, the same perspective, you know, and we have now the original photographs. So that history of our community, valuable stuff, you know, significant areas of history in our community that would have been lost are up in Maryland or Virginia or somewhere and sitting in a box that nobody knew where that was. Well, where is this? And if it just happened to come a bigger hand guiding that course to find their way back to our community. But, you know, this is something I think the most important part about this is helping our community have that way and protocol to sustain our community's history.
You know, we're talking about the archives. If people go over there and just want to research some of the history in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County, what would be their normal protocol to do that?
They can just walk in the door, to be honest with you, mm-hmm. but they can also call us or email us. You know, our job at the County Archives is to keep all the permanent records of county government. That's our mm-hmm. main task, and we are part of county government. So we keep all the old marriages records and wills and birth and death records and mm-hmm. all the different court records. The reason why we do so much history out of the archives is, although we're collecting the records from today, the county was formed in 1804, and our collections go back to 1804. Mm. So half of what we do, if not three-fourths, is we get the genealogists from out of town or in town that come in and want to see the marriage record of their ancestors from 1850, for example, or want to know where their family was buried in the early 1900s, and mm. we're able to go back into the records and look for that. So we're real good at following the lives of people, because if you think about birth records and the marriage mm-hmm. records and death record, property records, we can follow the lives of a person as long as they were in Rutherford County mm-hmm. in any time frame, so to speak. So a lot of what we do is digging into the lives of our citizens, of our past and present. But then again, you can put the bigger stories together, you know, what was life like in Murfreesboro in the 1850s, for example, mm-hmm. and through the court records and through the birth and death records and cemetery records, you kind of can start putting some of that social history back together. So we have done collaboratives with the Sam Davis Home, for example, and Oakland's Historic House Museum mm-hmm. to do research for exhibits. We've done quite a bit of work with Stones River Battlefield, especially in land use issues, how mm-hmm. that battlefield came to be around 1930 and what it had been before that on that land. So those are some examples. Campus school was a recent one. The Homer Pittard Campus School right. needed restoration a couple years ago. They needed a mm-hmm. grant. We were able to provide the research on how that building was founded, what the partnership was between the county and the city and MTSU, now MTSU, to make that happen. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely a lot of history that comes back alive through the records that we house at the archives. And now we have this whole photograph initiative. I mean, the Shacklets were extremely gracious. I cannot say that enough, to give this gift to the community, you know, over 30,000 right. historical negatives that could have easily stayed at Shacklets. I mean, it was their private possession, the work of their father, but they said, no, we need to share this. We mm-hmm. need to preserve it. We need to let everybody look at it. And so that's why it came to the archives. And that was about 2.5 years ago now. Yeah. It's been a slow process, but a good process. And that has opened up new doors. Now mm-hmm. we've been reaching out in the community and saying, anybody in the community, if you have historic images that you want to share with the public, if you'll bring them to the archives and let us scan them, you mm-hmm. can keep the original. We just want to make these available for research.
Well, and I think this might speak a little bit to the partnership with MTSU and how creating that database and a word search to the images that, you know, we've given some practical experience. It is definitely a win-win for
this community is blessed in many ways, and one is the partnership with MTSU. Right. MTSU has, a lot of people don't know this, surprisingly, but they have one of the best historic preservation programs in the country. It's mm-hmm. actually called public history. You can do preservation, you can get into archives, you can get into museum studies. All this is at the graduate level, both MA, Master of Arts, and a PhD now, one of the only PhDs in the country for preservation in public history. So we have that beautiful connection with MTSU. I happen to teach in MTSU, and I got my degree from that program, but we're able to bring students into the archives to help us preserve documents, to help us work with the Shacklets photographs and others. So it's a wonderful collaborative between the university and the county and the community, and we're just cashing in on that, and everybody's bringing everybody to play, and it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity.
Our dream at some point is to create some type of data. Word data related mm-hmm. to the pictures, that so if somebody's wanting to is doing some research related to, say, the courthouse, mm-hmm. you know, it will have you could do a word search, and then all these images related to that would come up so that you can see that. And that's going to be years in developing that. It's not something that happens overnight, but we've begun that process.
We've already started. That's the big thing. It's one thing to bring these images into the archives and start to work on the physical preservation of them. I mean, every image, we literally have to look at every one. Mm-hmm. Most of them are not actually photographs, but they're the negatives, the original negatives. So there's a level of conservation that has to be performed. They have to go into acid-free envelopes and boxes. So you can imagine the physical labor involved, and it's going to take us probably 10, 15 years to process the entire, just the Shacklet collection of 30,000 plus. But we have started, we wanted to make sure from day one that the whole end goal is to let people see these things, mm-hmm. see these images. So we worked with our county computer department. Let me go ahead and mention a name on the radio. Brad Talley, that works for OIT for the county, did an awesome job of developing a database that he designed that we are now able to scan the images as we're working on them. We bring them into the database. We enter as much historical information we know. If it's a picture of a person, you know, what's the name of that person? When was it taken? Who took it? All this we call it metadata in the field, but just all this research behind the image. And then the database, you can now search these images. So we have about 5,000 images in the database so far.
Wow.
And you can come in, and it's a search feature, kind of like your internet search feature on Google or something, that you can type in a key term like courthouse,
mm-hmm.
and bring up every image of the courthouse from the Civil War to the present, you know, or you wanted to search, you know, images of the square, or images of football teams, or, you know, the old basketball, high school basketball team. You can put in basketball or basketball team and pull up any image that has to deal with that. So it's a really wonderful, user-friendly, interactive website. And this is the way we can take 30,000 images and make them usable, findable, searchable. And so, unfortunately, none of that will be available online, not in the near future. We have to worry about copyright and contract agreements and things like that. But people are definitely welcome to come to the archives. We're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4. We can set them down at our computer terminal, and then we can turn them loose. They can look at the images on our computers at the archives. Of course, they can give us a call over the phone, and we can work with them to try to find images as well.
Yeah, while you're talking, I keep picturing a big museum of art, and everything in that museum is the history of Rutherford County. I mean, it's just so fascinating. And while you were talking, I was hoping that you were going to say that it would be available on the internet, because I have a lot of friends that are still very interested in the history of Murfreesboro. They grew up here, and, you know, home is where your heart is. And as constantly, that some of them listen to the radio show out of state, and they want to keep up with Murfreesboro because it's still very precious to them, and it means a lot.
The folks that are out of town, as well as the younger generation, my students in the classroom, want things online, want everything to be on the internet so we can have more access to it.
Mm-hmm.
But they can always call us, and we help people every day over the phone or via email to find what they're looking for.
At the end of the show, I want to make sure that they know how to get a hold of you in person and on the phone and everything else. And we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive. And they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves on the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb can you get free oil changes and free tires for the life of that vehicle.
We elected a good, competent man in 2008 to be Rutherford County's property assessor. Bill Boner has been fair to everyone. He is the best qualified candidate. Bill Boner has received the UT Certified Public Administrator designation, a Head Start volunteer recipient. Plus, he has been a great property assessor for 4 years. Let's re-elect Bill Boner for Rutherford County Property Assessor.
I'm Bill Boner, and I approve this message.
Hello, this is Truman Jones. We have a new sponsor, and one that you're going to be delighted with. It's National Healthcare, National Healthcare Corporation, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And this is where life is celebrated. Discover a different kind of care, one that ensures that you're surrounded by people who make a difference in your life. In 11 states, patients and residents feel right at home at National Healthcare Corporation's more than 130 affiliated healthcare centers and home care offices. Their family of facilities delivers exceptional rehabilitative, skilled nursing, and extended care in locations that are close to home and family. In line with their longtime commitment to provide a continuum of care to those who need their services at any age. And want to let you know that this is a local business started here, even though it's pretty much all through the Southeast. National Health Care, Murfreesboro, where life is celebrated.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by AmeriCare Pest Control, the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, and the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna.
This is Dean Higby with South Branch Nursery. Join us Saturdays, 11:30 to 12:30 on the Rutherford Home Show, presented by Old South Properties.
This is Josh at South Branch Nursery. If you're growing a garden, now is a great time to layer it for winter, and we have everything you need from straw to compost to ensure your garden is successful. We even offer snow removal and ice melt application.
South Branch Nursery, located at Barfield Road and South Church Street, 893-4030, or on the web at southbranchnursery.com.
Now, Good Neighbor Events from WGNS. The AARP is offering a free tax aid program to persons age 60 plus whose total family income is $50,000 per year or less. This is over at the St. Clair Street Senior Center, and appointments are necessary. Phone 848-2550 for information. A similar service for all ages over at the Greenhouse Ministries. That too requires a total household income of $50,000 or less. Now here's a date to put on your calendar, March the 17th. That's a Saturday night. And the Fun Backstage Bash on the street right in front of the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. Great food and, let me tell you, phenomenal music, the big band sound of Music City Swing. For information about this annual Center for the Arts fundraiser, call them at 904-ARTS. A special Lawn and Garden 101. That's going to be March the 2nd and 3rd, Friday and Saturday. There is a $10 fee, and that includes the lunch on Saturday, as well as all the materials. Phone 898-7710 for information. And those are Good Neighbor Events.
At Todd's Complete Auto Care on Southeast Broad Street, we now have a European specialist on staff. Now you don't have to go to the dealer for service and repair on Mercedes, BMW, Volvo, Jaguar, and other Europeans. From oil changes to engine work, we can take care of it on foreign, domestic, and European vehicles. 962-9050.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Bill Shacklett and John Lodell. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Gold and Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street. And that's beside the Gateway Tire Center in the Strip Mall. Also a new location at 5631 New Nashville Highway. And Pastor Larry Dunn of ERO Ministries and partners Chris Chico and Wayne Everly buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware. They have vintage sports collectibles and even some great antiques. And for a fair and honest evaluation of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and his partners today at the Gold and Coin Connection, 2568 South Church Street, or 5631 New Nashville Highway, and give them a call at 890-2646. And the book, which is titled Murfreesboro, which is the appropriate title, it's not just in downtown Murfreesboro. It shows the rural part of the community and some of the great things that were going on. They had the mills out there that were on the rivers and great recreation places that we were all go to our little water holes and just kind of get away from the summer sun a little bit. And you've got everything in here that I can think of. It covers almost anything that's happening in the community. But my guess is, after the people buy this first book, I've got a feeling that you will have more books coming out.
Well, I don't know. It certainly is. It's interesting. There's what, 82 images in there that we've taken, you know, a then. And one of the real, I mean, John really did do all the heavy lifting in this book. He just did a remarkable job of putting this book together. And one of the important things, I think, in the way that he did this, you know, there's been several books about history and lots of images that we've seen of even the iconic places in our community, you know, the courthouse and James K. Polk and different things. Well, John went through the collection and tried to select images that people haven't seen or perspectives that people haven't seen on those iconic images, and then places, but then also some places maybe that we hadn't seen or talked about before. Mm-hmm. And some of we've actually got Smyrna in there as well, lots of the Main Street area at Smyrna, and some really interesting things. So if you're in the north part of the county, you'll probably find something in here for you to look at as well. But what you were talking about, some of the mills, you know, mills were such a big part of not only, recreation, but we, you know, the Walter Hill area had a power plant, the first, I guess, was it one of the early power plants there.
Yeah, so. Electrical plants, yeah.
So, these I think will start generating some conversation about mm-hmm. what used to take place at places like the different dams and areas. And that certainly was such a big part of our community, and we've got some of those those places where the mills where those took place, and then there's some other images too that are kind of, I think, you know, gonna a nice spackling of what took place in this community and the special places in this community.
Word about the publisher, it's Arcadia Press. They've done several books for our community mm-hmm. by different authors, but they have a different series. They do pictorial history books across the country mm-hmm. in almost every town. But the different series, they'll do a postcard series. They did just a historic picture series. They did a university series. There's one on MTSU. Mm-hmm. This particular series, the book that we did was Murfreesboro Then and Now. Mm-hmm. And so the point of this book is to select 82 historical images and then match them with 82 now images, pictures taken at the same spot and same angle as that original photograph. So, for example, maybe we picked a picture of the courthouse in 1960, and when Bill went back, this summer and took the picture of that same angle, that same, building, luckily the courthouse is still there. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the images in the book, an entire chapter of the book, is things that are no longer there.
Right.
But you can see what's there today. So that's the part that I think there's something for everybody in this book. The folks that grew up here, younger ones or older ones, can relate to a lot of things in the book, including the things that aren't there today. But the newer folks of town, I've been here about 18 years, and the people that just got to town, they can still thumb through this book and look at places that are there today and see what used to be there. And so, for example, if they're out in Smyrna, because we did include quite a bit of Smyrna in there, and they're driving across the Jefferson Bridge there on Jefferson Pike across the Persepolis Lake, and they'll
the
look
creaky
in the book.
Old bridge.
Well, the newer one now. Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, my gosh, it used to be.
They'll say, you used to walk and drove across. Yeah, you think about Murfreesboro. Of course, Murfreesboro was the heart, but you go out in these other communities, and they were thriving communities. You go into Readable, Tennessee, and that was one of the first areas to have electricity and ice and things like that in this community.
We've included Smyrna. We already said that we included Christiana.
Yeah, Christiana.
Eagleville's in there. A place called Jefferson that's under the water now.
Right.
So we tried to, the heart of it is Murfreesboro. The title's Murfreesboro Then and Now, but we definitely wanted to include other pieces of the community to make it have a broad appeal to everybody.
Of course, Bill and I guess it kind of dates us a little bit, because I remember most of these pictures that are in this book. I mean, that really does
the original ones.
Yeah. And I can relate a story almost to probably 80% of these pictures in here. And people who are from Rutherford County can do the same thing if they've been here a long time. And there's great memories, and then there's not so great memories.
That's part of living, isn't it?
Yeah, and I can remember going to the one of the mills,
right,
and everybody in our community went out there that day mm-hmm. to just have a neighborhood cookout, and we swam, and they had a little bridge right there at Hall's Hill, and we weren't supposed to jump off of it, but
we did. Yeah.
And it was such a fun day. I never will forget it. We got home that night, and three or four of us started getting sick. And that's when polio was here.
Oh, my word.
And just a touch for a couple of us, and then a couple of the other children.
Wow.
Actually, one of them had a major case.
Full-blown polio.
Yeah, polio.
Oh, my word.
But you look back on, and you remember they closed the state fair down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they thought that may be part of the spreading of polio
right,
at that time.
Right, I sure do.
And it's funny, not funny, but you look back on these old memories of I can remember sitting at the James K. Polk Hotel when the parades would go by on East Main Street.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so fascinating. And I know there's got to be at least one or two of these pictures that brings back some pretty hot memories to you.
Well, you know, all of the locations.
You've got so much of it there.
Well, you know, I think what's special about it is John selected these images of the then pictures that we had. I think what makes it special to me is, you know, as I looked over some of these pictures and realized that, you know, these are pictures that Dad either worked on or restored or took. And so some of these images, you know, I was standing in the place that Dad was standing, and not exactly in some instances. There's a picture that was taken from James K. Polk Hotel looking back up to the courthouse during at night. And I was trying to duplicate that picture, and it was really a picture that we've had around of Dad's for a long time. It's been at different places. But I was trying to duplicate that, and I couldn't get it. It was actually taken in James K. Polk, so it was higher and kind of back off the street a little bit at a different angle. But I was trying to duplicate it as close as I could, and I was telling John to after the – it was one of the last shots that we needed to get, and I got it over to John, and I said, "Well, John, check out when I took this picture." And I forgot what time it was. The
clock on the courthouse says 2:30, and it's at night. So you just imagine it's got to be 2:30 a.m. that Bill's out here taking the shot that we need for the book.
It was.
How often has that clock been correct?
It is. It's doing a pretty good job now. We got to say, who's ever taking care of that clock? It's not doing too. It's not doing too bad. But it was at 2:30 in the morning because you know Murfreesboro now has a nightlife, and I was trying to get it where there weren't cars in the picture, and so it took about 2:30 at night before people started going home, and I was able to take the picture that I wanted. But
well, you know, it used to have a nightlife there also. Remember, when we were teenagers, everybody would park around the square, and that was the meeting place.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you'd watch people drive by. That was the big deal, is to tour that area. And then, of course, there was a restaurant down on Broad Street that everybody, and when it opened up, Shoney's, we all toured around Shoney's and checking out people. But that's, you're right. The square, was such a center for commerce. I mean, you think of what kids now going to the mall or going to those areas like that. It was like that. We all came downtown, whether it was to find out what happened as a course of an election or major events. I remember coming down there for political events and seeing governors and, you know, representatives speaking, you know, on a platform in front of the courthouse there. It was a place where, like I say, where we experienced this whole thing of this feeling of community. We came together. It was a focus of, it was truly, like you say, the heart of our community. And so much of our lives were shared. You know, I remember getting my scout uniform at Goldstein's, you know, and Elrod's also had.
I never got past Tenderfoot.
Well, I'm shocked. I would have thought you
baseball
would have been
was king.
Well, you're right. Well, I did that too. Yeah. You know, we were involved in baseball too. But that so much of what we what we experienced our life with was focused around what took place within that couple of blocks area from the courthouse. And like I say, I think what we're really hoping to do is that people will sit down and maybe peruse it the first time by yourself to see what it does to prime your pump as far as memories. But
peruse doesn't mean burn it.
Don't burn it. No, just go through it, look at it, and then sit down with someone else, either maybe somebody new to our area or another generation. Sit down with them and start, you know, be a real conversation starter for people to be able to communicate about our community, because that is really, I think, what makes it special. Is when we share a place, you know, a place is just a place until we really realize what it means to our lives and how it's impacted our lives. And I think the circumstances and the events that take place around the picture that you'll see in this book, I think, can be real special. But we wanted to share a little bit about, you know, when we first started this book, you know, we realized there is, you know, we wanted it to be a gift and involved in a nonprofit here in town called Read to Succeed, and all the proceeds from this book go to Read to Succeed. Mm-hmm. So to help adult literacy and all the literacy effort that's in our community. So when you buy a book, you're helping the Read to Succeed effort and literacy. It really is a great program that benefits our community in so many different ways. But just wanted you to know that's the proceeds of the book go for that.
And, you know, that's one thing I really admired about you and a lot of the others, Rutherford County Historical Society. Mm-hmm. Most of the things that they put out publicly are not for themselves. They're for preserving the history of this community. And while you were sitting there talking, I was thinking about, I don't know how I got off track sometimes, but I was thinking about one of my favorite movies of all time, How the West Was Won.
Oh, yeah.
And they start from the beginning of people going out west, how things changed, how they built it up, and it's done all at the end. It shows from the beginning to the end in just, what, 4 or 5 seconds or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. Spencer Tracy narrates
it. I remember, yeah.
And in this, you have the same thing, only you have time to actually absorb it and really get the true feeling of how this community got to be where it is. And I think of Murfreesboro, and I think of Smyrna and Kittrell and Walter Hill and all these other places. And you look out here now, and if you're somebody passing through, or if you've just been here a short time, you really don't know this community at all. You see all the shopping centers and all the roadways that have been built in the last 25 or 30 years. And people, a lot of times, they don't experience what Murfreesboro and Smyrna and all these other places are really all about. They really don't. And they can sit down and buy this book, Murfreesboro, and they can go through it. And I'll guarantee you, they will all want to go and visit some of these places where these pictures actually took place.
I certainly hope so.
And I know that had to have been part of what you were thinking when you did that. And there's so many of us. I got to tell you a story, and I'm ashamed of it, but I never had a picture of my granddaddy. And I got a picture that was sent to me by Jimmy Caffey, who is in Putnam County.
Uh-huh.
And it's a picture of my granddaddy, who was born in 1864.
Oh, my goodness.
And my grandmother and five of their children. And that picture is well over 100 years old.
A treasure.
Yeah, it is. And it's amazing to sit there. I remember some of them as they had gotten older. But I didn't really ever see a picture of my grandmother when she was young.
We had a lady come by the studio that was adopted. It's been several years ago, but she came by the studio and had a picture of... It was a picture, an older picture of she said, this lady in the front row here, it was an old country schoolhouse, mm-hmm. and she was on the front row, and she said, they tell me that that's my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she had never seen her mother's face, so we brought the image back, and there was not a dry eye in the studio when she picked it up, and she said, this is the first time I've seen my mother's face. You know, that's what's so precious about photographs. I think they touch us at such a deep place in our souls.
Mm-hmm.
The memories that they generate, the feelings that are so profound in making life important to us. And that is one of the, I think, John and I's desires that as we look over this book and people share this book, is that, you know, it will cause feelings to come up that maybe we didn't realize. And like you say, stories related to this, communication within our community about, you know, things, the way things used to be, because quite honestly, you know, we are here, we're experiencing a great community as it is now, but it's because of the efforts of those that have gone before us that laid a foundation of a community that appreciates history, that values the history long before we did. We wouldn't have had some of these images if someone didn't hold on to them and feel that they were important for the future. So, you know, I think, you know, that and now we are the trustees of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the generation that lives now is the trustees of that historical record. And thanks to John and all of the county's efforts to hold on and sustain that history in the archives, you know, we have a great opportunity to be able to be faithful in our mm-hmm. trusteeship
right.
of this community's history in the future. And hopefully this book will help expose and give some information about the archives and, like I say, also communicate some history.
We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will need to let everybody know how to get this book and then some of the resources that you guys are offering. And this portion of the show is brought to you by At Home Care, and that's Melissa Warren's business. And it's located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And they come into your home and take care of all the duties that you would normally have. They take care of everything that needs to be done. Plus, they run errands for you. And if you're no longer able to take care of those things, then you need someone to come in so you can still enjoy your quality of life at home. Give them a call at 713-4639 or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com.
Hello, my name is Lance Jenkins, candidate for property assessor. As your next property assessor, I will ensure that every property owner is treated fair and equally. I have over 17 years experience in the property assessor's office, serving from 1987 to 2004 as deputy assessor under former assessor Tommy Sanford. I would appreciate your vote for property assessor, early voting February 15th through February 28th. I am Lance Jenkins, and I approve this message, Lynn E. Jenkins, treasurer. Vote Lance Jenkins, property assessor.
Smoked wings, barbecue, the redneck nachos, you know what I'm talking about. It's Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane. Stop on in. Each day they've got great specials for you. Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane here in Murfreesboro.
Be a hero for kids with cancer. Join Bald in the Borough's second annual St. Baldrick's event on March 16th at 4 p.m. located in Lanes, Trains, and Automobiles in Murfreesboro. You can be a part of the excitement, whether you shave your head, volunteer, or donate. You'll be giving hope to those kids fighting childhood cancers. Go to baldintheborough.com and see how you can be a hero too. Sponsored by Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Who can match the qualifications of Greg Brooks for road superintendent? No one. Greg Brooks is hands down the most qualified candidate for road superintendent. Greg's company, B&M Paving, did all of our paving work for many years. Greg's knowledge of all aspects of road construction is unmatched by anyone I've seen in the industry. This is Wayne Belt, and I'm going to vote for Greg Brooks in the Republican primary, March the 6th. Early voting, February the 15th through 28th.
I'm Greg Brooks, and I approve this message.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS, AM and FM.
Welcome back with Bill Shacklett and John Luddle. And, of course, I know everybody's appetite is already, they've got to read this. And they got to find out where to get it, when to get it, and maybe some of the services that you guys offer over at John's.
All right. Well, first of all, the book will be available next Wednesday, February 29th. It'll be available at any of the local bookstores, Shacklett Photography on the Square, Oakland's Historic House Museum gift shop. I believe the Sam Davis Home of Smyrna will have it in their gift shop.
Wow.
So just look on your local bookshelves, and you should be able to find a copy. Give Bill or myself a call if you can't find it, either at Shacklett's or the Archives, and we'll help you find a copy. Mm-hmm. But the Archives itself is open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4. We're on Rice Street. A lot of people don't know where that is, but it's real close to downtown Murfreesboro, the Historic Square. It's, if you know where Hancock's Fabric is and that shopping center memorial, just go to Hancock's and look to the right, and you will see us. Rice Street's a little bitty street that runs into that shopping center where Hancock's is. We're there Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4. You're welcome just to walk in the door. You can call us at 867-4609, and we're just happy to hear from you.
Now, are you guys going to have a formal signing?
We have several on the calendar.
I had my calendar in front of me.
I didn't bring the calendar, so definitely keep an eye to the newspaper or the news. We will be at Mid-South Bank in a couple weeks. We'll be at Blue Raider.
16th, I believe.
16th of March. We will be at Lombard Library on a Sunday in March.
The 22nd, is it? Or anyway, somewhere after that. And then we're
struggling here. We're going to be at Blue Raider Bookstore in March on a Saturday. We'll be at the Chamber of Commerce sometime in March or April.
At the Chamber.
We apologize for not bringing our calendars. We're new to this business.
First time through this. But call the studio if you want to find out. We'll have, they're on the book at the studio, so you can call Shacklett's and we'll have let you know if you want to come to one of our book signings. We'll have one at the studio as well. So
now, is this going to be a continuing process, Bill and John? Is this going to be series one, or are we going to continue on? Because you know, you have got a lot in here, and it brings back quite a few memories for me. But as you know, people bring in things to you, and you still have plenty of resources right there.
The day we finished this, but we had a deadline for Arcadia, our publisher, of course, and that was back in August. And the day that I mailed it off to them, it was in the mail, and I sent it off, and this project was done. I went over to Shacklets to rejoice, and Gloria's like, when are we doing the next book?
I knew it.
That's Gloria. You knew that's Gloria.
Yeah, yeah. Miss, I'm going to do everything.
That's right.
I'm gonna ride my bicycle up Windrow Hill. I don't care what anybody says that she's coming backwards.
All memories. She loves that, Truman. She loves you telling that story.
Well, you got a special family. You really do. And John, it's been a pleasure to get to meet you. And I know where all my resources are right now.
That's right.
And I'll guarantee you I'll be seeing them because I'm just absolutely just fascinated with the history. I don't... Do you know of any other place that seems to be so steeped in the heritage? I'm sure there are some.
We got some great places in the community, our historic house museums, our heritage center off the square, but we are maybe either the cake or the icing of the two. I'm not sure which we are, but we can definitely round out your history research. If it's Rutherford County, come by.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee you, there every little community in Rutherford County is special to somebody that lives here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, unless we have role models like we get to see in here and see some of the things they do, I mean, how are people going to look back at us if we don't follow suit?
That is so true.
I mean, it's going to be so sad.
So true.
Well, it's been a great show, Bill and John. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
And tomorrow, we have a gentleman by the name of Rob Lyons. Have you ever heard of him?
I've heard that name. Yeah. He's a very special fella.
And he's always held in high regard.
Everybody likes Rob.
Anybody that runs the city of Murfreesboro has to be that
You
way.
Better.
And we'll see you guys tomorrow at 2:00.